This is the feast of Saint Joseph, foster father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book Ecclesiasticus. Beloved of God and men, whose memory is in benediction, he made him like the saints in glory, and magnified him in the fear of his enemies, and with his words he made prodigies to cease. He glorified him in the sight of kings, and gave him commandments in the sight of his people, and showed him his glory. He sanctified him in his faith and meekness, and chose him out of all flesh. For he heard him and his voice, and brought him into a cloud, and gave him commandments before his face, and a law of life and instruction. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this feast is taken from the account according to Saint Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. When Mary, his mother, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wishing to expose her to reproach, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I have spoken many years on this Feast of St. Joseph, and here it is that I'm again coming to talk about him, at least in a little way, not certainly what he deserves, but as best as we can do. It says in the Epistle for the Mass that he was chosen out of all flesh, chosen by God, and he was a just man. Of course, in Scripture, to be just means to be faithful to the Torah, to the law of Moses, and to the worship of the temple. And so we know at least this, that Joseph, in our understanding, in our parlance, was a deeply religious man. And we know from the Scriptures that Saint Joseph went to all the feasts, and not minimally, but the entire feasts for all the days that they were celebrated. So he loved God very much, because justice means not just external compliance, but an inner, interior feeling of love, of devotion, of dedication. Furthermore, it says too that he was chosen by God. That means, of course, that he was given this privilege to be the foster father of our Lord and to share in the divine paternity of the Father from all flesh and from all eternity. And so we know that just as when a person receives a vocation, that he is not given a vocation in a vacuum, that he is given a vocation in a context, historically and interiorly. That is to say, that everything that you need to be a faithful priest or religious or a husband or a father, see, is all given to you and promised to you by Almighty God at the beginning of the imparting of your vocation. That's the reason why I tell people so often, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid of the obligations of your vocation. Because God does not give you a gift like that, a calling like that, without at the same time the ability to do so courageously, meritoriously, holily. That should give everybody courage to live out your vocation well. And it is true of Saint Joseph. In addition to that, we know too by sacred tradition that he was given sanctifying grace before he was born. There was in him no concupiscence, no inordinate desires, and not even conscious venial sin, not only mortal sin, but certainly venial sin, and at least at the time of the marriage. Besides that, he as well maintained the vow of chastity. He came to the Blessed Virgin as a chaste husband. So there was a true marriage between the Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, and Saint Joseph. It was the exchange, as anybody who marries, an exchange of the rights over the body. The use, however, of that right was suspended. But nevertheless, Saint Joseph had the rights over the body of the Virgin Mary. That's an extraordinary thing to think about. But that was his vocation. It was a virginal union, non-consummated, but a union of marriage just the same. And so with that, we can say too that he had a great care, greater than anybody can imagine, because his heart was great, greater than anyone can imagine. He had a great love of the Virgin Mary, not only as her client, as it were, but a love of a husband toward a wife, a love of a spouse. And therefore, he had care over the Virgin Mary. And you know, it seems to me, when you think of the care he exercised over the Virgin Mary, just that alone, we think of the Virgin Mary herself. Because, you see, she felt safe with him, not only in terms of her bodily integrity, her virginity, but in terms as well of all the obstacles in the world to be a good mother. She felt safe with him. He then protected her as a loving spouse. And more, he provided, think about this, he provided the condition of the hypostatic union, the incarnation. What does that mean? It means that without that marriage, there would have been no Christmas. Without that marriage, there would have been no conception of the Divine Savior in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was all within the plan, you see, of Divine Providence. That she should be not just living together with a man, but as a spouse, to give legitimacy to our Lord. And more, to be his and her protector. And in a way, a guide as well in the world. Without that marriage, there would have been no incarnation. Not that he had any direct part in it, but he provided the condition whereby the Virgin Mary could be the Mother of God, to protect her honor, to save her from danger. The reason is because if a woman was found with child before the marriage, she was considered an adulteress. And with that, she was liable to be stoned to death. Saint Joseph protected her from that as well. Let me say a word too, as I have done in the past, about the doubt of Saint Joseph. You know this from what I have said in the past, but let me say it again. The reason is because he was confronted with the maternal condition of the Virgin Mary when she conceived our Lord and she began to show herself as an expectant mother. It said that he was troubled. He was suspicious, not, as it were, for her, but for himself. This is a truth that is frequently unknown and often denied by people in the world who see Saint Joseph, you see, as purely a man with a woman in the normal sense. Saint Joseph was utterly convinced of the purity of the innocence of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, when he saw her in this condition, it was to him a great mystery. Why? Because he knew for a fact that she was innocent of any infidelity of any kind. What therefore was his doubt? The doubt was about himself. The doubt was about his ability to live up to the consequences of this virginal conception. He knew that he was in the face of a divine mystery that he could not explain. Nevertheless, it was facing him. Conscious of his weakness as a man in the face of a divine fact, a divine intervention, he doubted his ability to live up to it. The words of the angel reveal as much. The angel said in a dream, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as thy wife. That which was in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins." He was called by God through the angel to be a part of the mystery, to shield her, to conceal her. We say in Scripture that the apostles' vocation was to reveal the truth of the Incarnation, the truth about Jesus Christ. Saint Joseph's vocation was the opposite, was to conceal him until the time of his manifestation. And being unworthy, so he thought, of such a responsibility, the Son of God on earth, that's the reason why he wanted to leave her, to find someone else who would take this position. And so the angel assured him, wiped away his fear, his doubt, not about the virgin, but about himself. She loved him, revered him, and she treats him to this day as no other man can claim as regard to the Virgin Mary. She loves him even though they are not married any longer in heaven. Nevertheless, that conjugal love, that love of a spouse, is still with her, and she regards him to this day as the man who took care of her, the man who was responsible for her safety, who gave her a home, who protected her child, and so on. And that is the reason why, right from the beginning, the earliest Christians had a devotion, a reverence, a respect, a love, a dependence on Saint Joseph. And that is not yet to say anything about his being the foster father of our Lord. I have often said, and I continue to say, that the word foster father, adopted father, is true and yet not true. It is true in the sense that he is not a father in flesh. There was no union of male and female element in the conception of the infant. He was a product directly of the Holy Spirit's action and the cooperation of the Virgin Mary in a virginal, pure way. The same is true of his soul and of his body. But look at it this way. The product of the sexual functions of the wife belong because of the exchange of vows, the exchange of rights over the body, in the vow of marriage. The right over the sexual functions of the Virgin Mary belong to the husband, to Saint Joseph. He is not merely an adoptive or a foster father. He is the father, but in a pure way, in a virginal way. Christ is the fruit of the marital union between Saint Joseph and the Virgin Mary, but in a way that is utterly without flesh. And it is by divine providence that it should be so. Why? Because the Son in eternity proceeds from the Father in a pure and virginal manner. He comes from the Father then eternally so, as true Son of a loving Father, you see, in a spiritual way, real, but without the participation of flesh. And so he willed that his Son on earth be brought into the world in a similar way, from the Mother, with the cooperation of the Father spiritually, purely, virginally. And so Christ is the fruit of the marital union between Saint Joseph and the Virgin Mary, but in a way that exceeds all understanding. We say then that Saint Joseph is the living, visible expression of the eternal procession of the Son from the Father, starting in heaven, as it were, and expressed on earth through Saint Joseph. And that is why Saint Joseph had as well not just the physical love, as it were, the natural love of a father toward a son, but we say that Saint Joseph was the recipient of the love of God the Father toward his Son. He was given a spark of the love of the Father toward his Son on earth. That's the reason why, too, you see, our Lord and Savior loved Saint Joseph more than we can imagine. Because in the face of Saint Joseph, he saw his Father's love. It was the love of a man elevated, deified. He also, because of this, protected our Lord and Savior. His life meant nothing when it came to the well-being of the Virgin Mary and the Christ child. And this is the reason why we say, in any marriage, that the husband should see in Saint Joseph a model of a loving husband and of a devoted father. And so I've told men who are engaged and preparing for marriage, remember, gentlemen, in this union, you are second, and way down the line second. If your offspring, your sons and daughters, see, have shoes at the cost of your being barefoot, so be it. If you are dressed in rags, so that your wife has decent clothes, so be it. You are not the one that counts. They count. And that truly is the definition of love. Doing the other person's thing, so to speak. And so, he left his home at the instruction of the angel. He left his home. He left his country. He left his friends. He left his livelihood. He left the familiarity of his language. All of this for the sake of the safety of his family. He rescued them from the fury of the enemies of God, now his enemies. And let's face it, Saint Joseph had enemies. The enemies of God are his enemies. And that is true also of the sacred liturgy. When you see, since he was so faithful and devoted to the liturgy of the Old Testament, that was transferred, as it were, to our liturgy of the New Testament, the fulfillment of the Old. The enemies of Christ are his enemies. The enemies of the Blessed Virgin are his enemies. The enemies and those who hate our Mass, our liturgy, since he loves the liturgy so much, become his enemies. And the people who suffer because of persecution through their hatred, he becomes their protector, their defender, their rescuer, their shelter. So when we say rescue, we mean that as well. He nourished the Virgin and her divine Son. He labored to feed them. That's why people today turn to Saint Joseph for their material well-being. Because he nourished our Lord and Savior, fed him, took care of him, clothed him. It is said, and I have told this too, the one our Blessed Mother gave birth to our Lord, we always see him in the arms of his mother. Never in the arms of Saint Joseph. He stood watch, did not invade the intimacy of the virgin birth. He just protected it, its secrecy, its intimacy. And when he was born, he would not approach until the day that he saw the Holy Infant, you see, raise his hands as if he wanted to be held by his Father on earth. It was only then, by divine invitation, that Saint Joseph lifted him from his mother's arms. And held him in his own. Just like you see in this image. Just like you see in that banner. With the words that our Lord said to him, whispered, "My Father." That banner is a copy of the original that was given to me when I came to the United States. A long time ago. It was the gift of the people there when I became their priest in Thanksgiving. I began my priesthood with that picture. And you know, that image has been with me ever since. I love it because of its age, because it has a great deal of meaning for me, because of the expression of affection on the part of the Holy Infant to Saint Joseph. And because it has been the instrument as well of many, many favors, including some great ones that I have no time to tell you now. When I see that image, I think to myself, since our Lord had no human personality, his personality was divine. He is the universal man, as it were. He includes in his flesh all of those who belong to it. That's you and me. I'm there. In that picture, so are you. And the affection and love, devotion, dedication of Saint Joseph toward the Holy Infant is extended to all those, see, who belong to Jesus Christ in faith, in Blessed Sacrament. In devotion. He loves you too. And it is because of that especially that we have this Mass as we have always had it. In his honor. In addition to that, Saint Joseph taught the Christ child. Yes, taught him. Because even though our divine Savior in this human as well as his divine intellect knew everything about humanity, he made it. We say that in the Litany of Loreto, Mother of our Creator. So he made it all at the behest of his Father. He knew what it was like to have a human body but never had one himself. In the Incarnation, he finally had a body. And how did he use it? He knew the experience of creating it, but never the experience of using it. That, for that, he depended on this man, Saint Joseph, who taught him how to walk, who taught him how to speak. Where do you suppose it was? Where's the origin of the language he used, except from Saint Joseph? In fact, even his accent, as a Galilean, he got from Saint Joseph. All of the images that you see in the Gospel, except those that he got from his mother, like, for example, the example of the flower that's the object of the yeast and so on, that rises and spills over and falls on the lap. That he got from his mother, as he watched her when she was kneading bread. So he used it in his sermons. Everything else, when it came to the world and so on, he got from St. Joseph. He chose this man to imitate in terms of the way he spoke, his mannerisms, and so on. He taught the Holy Child. That, to me, is such an astounding thing that the Son of God, God, learned from a man in his experimental knowledge. And that man was Saint Joseph. Not to mention that he loved him as a true father in the spirit. And of course, with any parent who raises his sons and daughters well, there is a measure of inconvenience. There is a measure of suffering and hardship. And with Saint Joseph, it was in the extreme, because his solicitude was greater than all of us. You can imagine his distress when he lost the Holy Child in the temple. He felt responsible in some way. Can you imagine the pain in his heart? All of these things, you see, make Saint Joseph the object of admiration, of love, of dependence on us all. The Church considers Saint Joseph higher in dignity than the apostles, than Saint Peter. How can it be otherwise, since he lived all of his adult life with the Virgin Mary, looked at her, watched her, they conversed. What did they say to each other? That's one of the mysteries I hope to have cleared up when I reach heaven. What was it like to live in the same house for years with Jesus and Mary? His holiness is higher than Saint John the Baptist. And there is no preacher as great, and in fact, our Lord says himself, no man born of woman is greater than Saint John the Baptist. And he is greater than that. He is second only to the Virgin Mary in sanctifying grace and in the glory of heaven. We have a painting in our oratory that shows the court of heaven. And I like it because in it, Saint Joseph is way up there next to the Virgin Mary in the glory of heaven. Because you see, God, who obeyed him on earth in every way, it says he was subject to them, does not end his observance, his reverence for Saint Joseph in heaven. And so it is that he is known for his faith. And I do mean faith, because he never saw the divinity of Christ. He had a belief like you and I. Lots of signs and miracles, but nevertheless, you have to believe. And he believed with all the fiber of his being the true identity of this man, this Son of God. Purity, exceeding all the virtue of purity in everybody here. Fidelity, humility without ambition. Fortitude, nothing stood in his way to protect the honor of God and the Holy Family. Fortitude, that's something today that we lack greatly. Fortitude in the midst of persecution and of hostile people. Charity, conformity to God, abandonment. I said years ago, this is the only man I know who lived by dreams, who lived in a cloud, as it were, not knowing the future, just to be told what you do now. And that's all. You'll be told later what you're to do. Now you do this. Now you take the child. Now you live there. Now you... And he did so without complaint, without inquiring. He just obeyed the will of God. Modesty, silence, the virtue of religion. Understanding and wisdom. The wisdom that comes from divine love. That's the reason why, you see, he is, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, patron for everybody. St. Thomas puts it very, very clearly. There are saints who have been appointed by God to take care of us in certain needs. Like poverty. Pray to saints for income. Like chastity, obedience, and so on. Saint Joseph, however, is patron for everybody. It's an expression that we use frequently. I don't know how much anymore, but when I was a boy, it was often said, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In fact, there's an indulgence just to say those words. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. He is patron of the wealthy, teaching them how to use them with their wealth. The powerful, because of his humility and abandonment. Patron of the poor, patron of workers, patron of virgins, patron of those who are confused. Yes, confused. Because nothing was ever clear to him except the immediate will of God now. And that was all. As for the rest, he lived by a dream. Patron of the doubtful. Not doubting God, but doubting himself. And asking for divine light. Patron of the anxious, to calm them in the midst of trials. Patron of those who live in darkness. Patron of a happy death, since we know that he died in the arms of Jesus and Mary. And so it is that I tell you these things in this odd mass when most of our people are watching by computer in this time of trial, of anxiety, of fear. With all of that, remember the patronage, the protection, the care of Saint Joseph, and all will be well in these days when we are afraid that all is not well. That's all I have to say to you this morning. And with that, let us proceed with our Holy Mass, a Mass that is communicated through electronic devices. May God bless you.